Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and on Memorial Day, it is a federal holiday, and it is to be a time when we remember the soldiers and nurses and others who gave their lives that we might experience the freedom that we have. Freedom to come and worship this morning. One of the pastors was talking about two Iranian brothers who were chased out of Iran. Their families had been killed, and they had to escape from Iran before they would be killed. They are now in Iraq, in northern Iraq, and they are starting churches. They are starting churches there. In fact, they've already started several, and they plan to start more churches. Could you imagine starting a church in Iraq, where there's so much turmoil, where the Islam faith is growing, and where your life is basically in danger every moment of the day? The wars that have happened in our world just remind us of what Jesus said, that in this world you will have trouble. Anybody here this morning ever have trouble in their life? Yeah, you ever have problems? Jim, you have trouble in your life? Every day? Yeah, I think we have trouble in our lives. You know, I thought about this, and it really began when Joe and I were on our trip that I began thinking about it. But, you know, there's so many ways in our lives we have trouble. And we left the back of your bulletin open so that you can write notes if you want to write notes this morning. But let me give you some of the ways we have trouble, some of the areas we have trouble. How about church? Have you ever noticed that we're not all perfect? And that sometimes we get on each other's nerves. And sometimes we have differences of opinions and different ideas on how to do things. Yeah, it is unfortunate, but we don't always act like Christians, do we? There is trouble in churches. And you know what? There always will be. And that is a good thing. Trouble in church is a good thing. You know why? Because it means that the church is full of sinners. And where there are sinners, there's going to be trouble. So if there's trouble in church, it just means that we're a bunch of sinners meeting together to try to find out what God wants for our life. So, you know, mark it down. Churches will have trouble. Sometimes trouble at work. I don't know about you, but I have a pretty good boss. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're a boss and you don't have the greatest workers in the world. Or maybe you're trying to deal with coworkers and having trouble with your coworkers. Or, you know, maybe you don't even have a job. And your problem is finances. Or your problem is that you work your job and you work hard at your job, but it doesn't pay enough. So some of you have to work a second job or do other things to try to bring the money in that you need. So there's trouble at work. There's trouble in families. Of course, this never happens in my family because my family is perfect. But you know, sometimes spouses don't get along. Connie and I, we always get along. We never argue. We never fight. She's the perfect wife. I'm the perfect husband. And I mean, things are just great. The day we got married, I mean, it just kept going up and things are just perfect. If you believe that, I have a bridge in Louisiana to sell you. You know, just last week, we got a shed for our yard because, think about this, we have a one-car garage. It's a small garage, one-car garage, and it actually leans this way. People keep telling me to tear it down, but I kind of like it. So in the garage, we have all kinds of junk and a boat. You know the boat I'm talking about. And then next to the garage, we have two cars sitting out in the elements. It works, right? Maybe you're doing the same thing. You got a garage and it's all packed and your cars are sitting somewhere else. So we decided we need a shed. So we're going to build a shed next to the garage. And we started building the shed Wednesday night when we didn't have church because they were working on the parking lot. We actually went and got the materials. And then Thursday morning, we started building. And then we started putting the shed together. Maybe it was Friday. I can't remember now. But we had a deadline. I was going to the conference Sunday morning. Shed had to be done. So we started building. And if you've ever put a metal shed together, you know that there are screws. I looked on the internet for a 10x8 metal shed. There are 500 screws and bolts that you have to put together, put the shed together. We had a 10x14. So you can imagine there were a bunch more than that, somewhere between 750, I'm guessing, and 1,000 screws we had to put in this thing. And we had this deadline coming, and I'm going out of town Sunday morning. Well, as the deadline got closer, and we got more tired, I noticed we're never going to make this deadline. But we kept working on it. It was me and Connie and Tommy and my father. And I told Martin not to come over our house, because if he did, he'd probably start helping. And he made it one day because he had Maritza with him. But then he came back the next day and he jumped in and started helping us putting the screws together. And then we got this one screw in the middle of the shed and we just couldn't reach it. So we told Connie to climb up on the shed. But actually, he told Tommy. Martin told Tommy to climb up on the shed because he looked around at all of us and he thought Tommy must be the lightest. So he told Tommy to climb up on the shed. He said this, "Tommy, you got to be the lightest one here, so you climb up on the shed." And Connie just kind of stared at him. So Connie climbed up on the shed. And she actually couldn't reach the screw very well. So then we had Tommy climb up on the shed. And we have this bend in the roof of our shed. And I think that's where his knee was. So we had Tommy get off the roof of the shed. Anyway, we're starting to work on the shed, and we had to get it done, and I'm kind of the guy that likes perfection. You know, the screw's got to be exactly right. The angle's got to be exactly right, and we're just not going to make the end of this. So you're not going to believe this, but I started getting irritated, and I started being less than the perfect husband. I know you're not going to believe this, so I got to tell you. And, you know, things just weren't going right, and I was kind of getting a little edgy and a little, well, my voice has a tendency, even when I talk normal, to be loud. So you can imagine when it's a little aggravated, it gets a little bit louder. So as we were laying in bed Saturday night, I had to turn to Connie and say, "You know what, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to yell. I didn't mean to kind of be edgy and angry. So I'm sorry." And you know what? Our families don't always get along, do they? Sometimes it's the wife on the husband. Sometimes it's the parents on the kids. Sometimes it's the kids on the parents. And our families seem to have difficulty. In fact, sometimes our family difficulty rolls over into the church. In fact, as we're building this shed and trying to get it all together, I stood there as Martin was kind of on the top trying to reach a screw on the roof. I stood there and said, "You know what? The guy who put this together must have expected that he had six-foot monkeys with long arms trying to put this thing together as he's reaching for a screw, and he just looked at me." Sometimes we have problems in our own personal lives. I don't know if you're like me, but do you have insecurities? I mean, you look at your own life and you say, "I just don't measure up." Look at your life and say, I can't do this. Why would God ever want to use me?" And we have those insecurities in our own personal life. And then you know what? When we look at the church, we look at our families, we look at work, and we look at our own lives, and look at all these things, we get discouraged. And sometimes we just want to look and kind of just, we want to give up. We say to ourselves, "What's the use? Why bother?" I kind of get there a lot. Anybody else get there? I mean, I kind of get there a lot. And, yeah, I gotta kind of go back to certain things to help me get back where I need to be. And while I was thinking about that, and, you know, Joe was on the phone all the time with Michelle, so I was up in the room by myself. And I'm, you know, kind of writing down my thoughts and kind of putting them together. And, you know, how do we stay encouraged? How do we keep from giving up and getting discouraged? Now, this morning, I have six things for you. Six things. Number one, salvation. Salvation. Notice here in John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you know, just on the basis of our salvation, our relationship with Jesus Christ, do you know you're on the victory side? When the battle's over, we win. When the war is over, we win. We are on the victory side. Your relationship with Jesus Christ itself puts you on the victory side. And our salvation helps us to win. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our relationship to Jesus Christ comes at the moment of salvation. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, it puts you on the victory side. So when you look at all the things that are going on in this world, you win. I don't know what this world does when they face the world's troubles. I mean, I know some of the things they do. They turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to, you know, losing themselves in work, they turn to all kinds of things, but they really are not on the victory side. Just because we are related to Christ, we are in God's family, it means we win. Conference was exciting. It really was, and I think you could see that in Joe's voice. But you know what? We can't be at a conference every day of our life. But we need to win every day of our life. I think about it as this world looks at Christians, and the world looks at us as we deal with trouble. Do they see the relationship of Jesus Christ in our life? Or do they see a bunch of losers? Do they see you down all the time? Do they see you, you know, giving in to your problems? Or do they see you living on the victory side? A relationship with Jesus Christ should make a difference. Do they see that in our lives? Or do they see us always wanting to give up? You know, sometimes people look at their lives and you say, well, no one has problems like me. I got it the worst, and you know, you can tell me about your problems, but you know what? My problems are far worse than yours, and no one has a life as bad as my life. Oh, really? Jesus said, in this world, we will have trouble. You know what? We need to get away from all this preaching that says, when you come to Jesus Christ, everything's going to be great. It's not true. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. So Christianity is not the absence of trouble. Don't pray to God, take away all my trouble. He's not going to do it. What he will do is he'll give you help to overcome your trouble and to live above your trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. Your relationship with Jesus Christ ought to cause you to live above it. Let me tell you how you make that real in everyday living. The second thing. Living by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit. Turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 17. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I love that verse. It says, if I live by the Spirit, I am not going to give in to sin. If I live by the Spirit, I'm not going to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I'm not going to give in to my flesh. What does it mean to live by the Spirit? It means that my very life is dependent upon the Holy Spirit for all that I do. Living by the Spirit is the idea of dependence. Joe mentioned about, you know, before you even get out of bed, praying. Not only should we do that, but we ought to do that every moment of our life. Every moment we ought to be asking for the Holy Spirit's help to live the Christian life, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better child, to be a better worker, better church member. living, depending on the Holy Spirit to help us in all that we do. If we do that, we will not lose the battle of sin, lose the battle of temptation. In fact, skip down with me down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, if you are living by the Spirit, you will have love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The apostles were told in Acts chapter 1, well, actually in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus said to the apostles, when I leave, I'm going to send another like me. And then in Acts chapter 1, he said, look, I don't want you to leave here until that one like me comes, the Holy Spirit. Don't leave here until you have the Holy Spirit. Once you have the Holy Spirit, then you can leave here. But don't leave here until you have him. Why? Because in order to live this life, in order to have victory in our life, we have to live by the Spirit. We have to live in dependence of the Holy Spirit if we are going to be victorious in this life in a very practical, livable way. Number three, spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4. I'm not going to get into too much detail here because we will be looking at it in the book of Philippians upcoming. But notice verse 2 and 3, there's an argument going on between two church members. So based on that, Paul says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what are you anxious about this morning? What is bothering you this morning? What is it this week that really was laid on your heart and laid on your head that just caused you not to be able to get to sleep? Paul said, look, when you run into times like that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. And when you pray, pray with thanksgiving and bring your requests before God. And the Bible says that if you will do that, the peace of God will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And the end result is he'll give you peace. He will come in and give you peace. So whatever trouble you are dealing with, God says, look, I'm not going to take it away necessarily, but I'll give you peace in the midst of the trouble. I'll give you peace in the midst of the problems. It comes through prayer. Yeah, I want to tell you this morning, I don't think I pray enough. And I'll probably always say that. I'll always say I want to pray more because prayer is our lifeline. I am thankful that I could go out in the boat. In fact, I was out in the boat the other day with Tommy. Forget what day it was. Last week, I guess it was. Or was it this week? I don't know. But I was out with Tommy, and we're kind of fishing for a while, and I looked over, and I said, Tom, look, no water. Boat gets no water in it. Before, we got water in all the time. Even back in the days of Uncle Joe, he always had a sponge. And as soon as he'd see water coming up, he'd start, sponging up the water. We don't have to throw a lifeline anymore because we don't get water in the boat. Prayer's our lifeline. When you begin feeling your life sinking, when you're dealing with trouble and problems, prayer's the lifeline that we throw out to God and we say to God, God, I need help. The Bible says that when we do that, he'll give us peace. Peace that is beyond all understanding. Peace is not the absence of problems. Have you ever noticed that some people have kind of little tiny problems and they're falling apart? And other people have these, you know, colossal, bad, you know, really terrible problems. And you look at their life and you say, how do they deal with that? If we bring our needs before God, he says he'll give us peace that passes all understanding. I like that kind of peace. Number four. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Paul's kind of concluding his letter to the Romans. And in verse 4 he says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us." So everything that was written in God's word was written to teach you and me, so that through the endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So notice that one of the things that's true of God's word is that it is a book of encouragement. The other day I went over to see Marilyn last week, and I brought her a little book. It was a few pages, but what I did is I went on my Bible program, and I began thinking about different verses that would be an encouragement to her, so I began, you know, copying and pasting them, and then putting them on sheets of paper, and I cut them to 5.5 by 7, and I put a little book together that she could, you know, read when she's discouraged. In Psalm 119, verse 92, it says this, "If I had not delighted in your word, I would have perished in my affliction." If I had not delighted in your word, I would have perished in my affliction. Psalmist is saying, look, when I was going through trouble and problems, what I did is I delighted in your word. And as I delighted in your word, I gained victory. God's word is a book of encouragement. And if you want to have victory, you need to spend a lot of time in God's word. I listen to one of the speakers, and he said something that I often say myself. But you know, when you go to people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, people like Elijah, people like Paul and Jeremiah, and you see the problems they face and how they gain victory, that's an encouragement. And I say to myself, I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Paul. One of the greatest places to go when you're discouraged is the book of Psalms. You know, I've been reading Psalm 119 a lot. And all it says about the word of God as we deal with difficulty and problems, book is a book of encouragement. Number five. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on Jesus," or we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. "For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Number five is an eternal focus. An eternal focus. I can't overemphasize this enough. We need to take our eyes off this world and keep our eyes on eternity. We need to take our eyes off, you know, all the little things that we deal with and kind of keep our eyes focused on God. Focus on Jesus Christ. Paul said, look, you know, the things we're dealing with, man, they're big, they're hard, they're difficult. In fact, you know what? We're wasting away. But he says internally we're being renewed day by day. Why? Because he focused on what wasn't seen instead of focusing on what is seen. He focused on eternity instead of what's here. You know, we can look at this world and say, you know what, I don't feel very good. I think I'll give up. I think I'll stay in bed today. You know, I got more problems than I can handle. You know what, I just forget it. The bills are too big. You know what I'll do with the bills? I'm just going to open the drawer, drop them in, and close it and forget about them. If you look at lives, I don't know of anyone who had a more difficult life than the Apostle Paul. Maybe you could put Job in there with Paul. But you get to the end of Paul's life and he says, look, I didn't quit. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And now there was a crown waiting for him. What are you focusing on? What is it that, you know, kind of takes up your focus? Is it on this world and all the problems? You open that newspaper, and all you do is read about problems. You hardly ever read anything good. You watch TV, and, you know, you look at the news, and all you really see is the bad stuff. In fact, I was watching news the other day, and as I was watching news, the news commentary came on and said, we have a good story for you today. You know, they give good stories, so few and far between, they got to tell us when there's a good one. Where's your focus? Is it on Christ? Is it on eternity? Or are you lost in your troubles? You know, you look too close at all your problems and all you do is see the clouds and the rain and the thunderstorms. We need to look past it and look and see the sun. The other day, as we were trying to put this shed together, it was raining. But as we looked towards West Mountain this way, the sun was out. So if you look at rain clouds, you'd have to say, well, we're done. We can't work anymore. It's raining. No, here comes the sun. Keep an eternal focus. And one last thought. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Probably a very familiar verse to you. But I want you to think about it kind of in a different light. James chapter 1, and verse 2. Consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. The sixth thing that is going to help you through trouble is trouble. Sixth thing that's going to help you through trouble is trouble. Notice James says, look, the testing of your faith, that's problems, difficulties where God tests our faith, the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. In other words, the very thing that discourages us, James says, look, that very thing is the thing that God is using in your life to get you not to quit. Think of it this way. When an athlete wants to train for sports, one of the things he does is he trains by lifting weights. And when you lift weights or you do any kind of exercise, what you're literally doing is you're causing muscle fatigue. And the goal is to cause your muscles to fatigue, to get tired. And then you push it a little further. And then you push it a little further. And you push it a little further. Until your muscles get strong enough so that whatever sport you're competing in, your muscles do not get fatigued as quick. They become stronger so that you can win. God is actually bringing us through trouble and problems and difficulties, so as we go through those things, we get stronger. So that we have greater ability to go through trouble. You know, if our lives were all sun, after a while, we'd get tired of it. You say to yourself, no, I'd never get tired of sun all the time. You know what? We really would. Just think what happens at the end of the summer for most people. They're complaining it's too hot. And then we look for winter, and then we're complaining there's too much snow and cold. You know what, Christians, we need to quit throwing ourselves pity parties. In fact, there's a statement, I debate it, what did I tell you, but one of the speakers at the conference said this: don't sit on the pity potty so long that you get a ring around the hiney. I'm just reading what he said. We need to quit throwing ourselves pity parties. We need to quit kind of letting all the problems and all the troubles win the battle. You know, we walk around with that sourpuss. We walk around like, you know, the world's terrible, it's rotten. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Christ came to give his life and life to the full. Are you living that life, or are you losing the battle? These six things will help you to win the battle. Let's pray. With every eye closed and every head bowed, you may be here this morning and you're discouraged. You're dealing with a lot of troubles, and you just want some prayer for you. All you have to do is raise your hand. Yes, anyone else, all you got to do is raise your hand, put your hand down. Raise your hand. You're just telling God, I'm hurting, and I need your help. Anyone else? Put it right up, put it right down. Father God, I lay each of these people before your throne. At the foot of the cross. And Father, I pray that you would give them victory. Father, we know we've already won the battle. We know when the end comes, we've won. We've won the war. I pray, Father, that you would help them to win the battles of daily life. Help them live victorious. Father, help them to realize that love that you've poured out in our hearts. Help them to realize the power that is available to us. And I pray, Father, they would realize that life that is to the full. Father, for each person that is discouraged here this morning, I pray, Lord, for your work in their heart and their head. And I pray, Lord, they would not leave here discouraged, but would leave here encouraged and ready to win the battles. Work, Father, in lives so that you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.